Tom Gazzola joins us. And, Tom, I guess we'll start with the Mike Smith, Mikko Koskinen situation. You look at just wins and losses and save percentage, everything else. Mikko Koskinen's got better numbers. Smith has two more starts, 13-11 so far this year. Over the next 24 games, do you see that changing? Do you think Mikko Koskinen becomes more of the guy who starts more games over the next 24?
Greg, quite honestly, if we see nights like we did yesterday with Mike Smith, and I know that's a few times now where he's gotten a hook and he's had some struggles. I wouldn't put those first two goals on him completely. The third one, which was a backbreaker with 3.5 seconds left by Jeff Carter, that's a goal you can't let in, and it came at one of the worst times to allow a goal. Obviously, first and last minute of a period is a awful time to let in a goal, and I think that kind of contributed a lot to the yank last night. Listen, I'm a big Mike Smith backer. I have been. I thought he would be the guy that would actually take the reins, be the number one, and I can only make this excuse for him so much. Is early when he had struggles and wasn't getting wins in the season, the team in front of him wasn't giving him a lot of run support. But these last couple of outings that haven't been necessarily stellar, you can actually look at the way he's played and some of the goals he's allowed that said, okay, well, Koskinen's better of, he's been the better of the two, and it shows in the win and loss column. And, we kind of wondered how long Dave Tippett would go with this two-start rotation before the dam would break and one guy would take on the bulk of the load. And right now, I think things are swinging into Mikko Koskinen's favor, especially if you look at the last couple of weeks here, Gregs.
When you take a look at the game last night, it did seem like the Oilers were behind the eight ball the entire time. What about Tyler Toffoli on the other side? A name that's been circulated, and some people think he might be an addition the Oilers would look at. Obviously, he had a good game last night, but do you figure that a player like him, or it's now at some point in time to bring in some reinforcements for that second or third line?
Strutty, that would be a good guy to bring in if you can pluck him out of there. And we continue to see, I know the bottom six got a couple of goals in San Jose, which was a welcome surprise and a relief to a certain extent. Drew Darterra, had three goals in two games before last night. If you could catch L.A., in a situation where they're trying to offload some of their salary and retool, because it is totally a time of transition for that Kings organization, and you could pluck a guy like Toffoli out of there and place him onto your bottom six, I'd be all for it, because he is third on their team in scoring, albeit with 12 points through 21 games. But there's a guy that's been around a while. He can chip in. He can give you solid minutes, and he would be a big boost, especially if you consider the Oilers' bottom six. I'd like him there, absolutely. All the intangibles he brings to the table. But, the other factor is, would the Kings be, if you're looking at it from an Oilers perspective, would the Kings allow that type of deal to happen where they give up a player like that to a conference rival and a divisional rival, one that I'm sure the Kings hope to be back on track in a year or two. I don't know if that's realistic or not, but I suppose we've seen crazier things in this league, but that would probably factor into it possibly happening. But I say that with full understanding that the Oilers and Flames pulled off a huge trade in the offseason as well.
Tom Gazzola joins us. Tom, Nygaard last night had two really good chances, didn't bury either one, did have four shots in the game. Today he was skating with Nugent Hopkins and Neil, although Jujhar Kara wasn't on the ice. Do you think Nygaard starts the game tomorrow night there, and Jujhar is going to be on another line?
I wouldn't mind seeing Nygaard there, and I really like him. I know he hasn't put up the numbers that a lot of people maybe expected or wanted him to so far, and the injuries have hurt him, obviously, this season. The one thing about last night is I like that he got those opportunities, Greg. And I thought for sure on that second breakaway that he was sprung loose on, he would try something a little bit different than the blocker side shot that he tried on the first one. But it looked like he pulled the save move. And then even later on in the game, I think James Neal found him in the slot for a quick bang-bang play where it could have been a, a goal, and he just kind of shot it, I think, wide, or it caught a shin pad or something like that. But I think those are good little indicators that maybe he's starting to get used to the NHL game as well. So I wouldn't mind seeing him on that line with Nugent Hopkins and Neil, and I think we all kind of expected that to eventually happen again, considering what he can bring to the table. I like his skill set and ability more so than I like what Jujhar Khaira can bring to the table. I think Jujhar fits that bottom six role better than Nygaard, and I think to me that wouldn't be much of a surprise tomorrow night against the Golden Knights.
Talking with Tom Guazzola, Tiny Tom's Tiny Tidings, breaking down the world of sports. It was interesting, a great article today by Frank Cervalli and Craig Button. It was the core four for all teams. And they included, obviously, did the Oilers, and their Oilers ranked very high at the top of the list. But let's go non-NHL players. Do you feel that in the last 5 or 6 years, or you know, since you've really been closely covering the team, that this is the best prospect pool the Oilers have kind of assembled?
Yeah. Yes, Ruddy. I mean, especially with the two guys leading the charge and pumping this engine and moving things forward, it's crazy to see how good Draisaitl has become. Like, I knew he was going to be an excellent NHL player, but not to this extent. Not a 100-point, 50-goal guy. And the sheer luck that came with winding up with McDavid after the draft lottery was, I think, a gift from the hockey gods. At least, you know, I like to sum it up that way. So with those two guys being the guys charging the Oilers top four, leading that charge, these are by far the best four, and especially with those two. And I mean, no disrespect to Taylor Hall, no disrespect to Jordan Eberle, no disrespect to Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and Sam Gagner, even, because Gagner and Cogliano were kind of guys prior to the Taylor Hall era, if you will, that were looked upon to be the future of this organization. But it's almost like I wasn't there for the 80s Oilers teams. I was a little kid when they were in their heyday. But what Draisaitl and McDavid are doing, and with the guys coming down the pipeline, like, it's almost somewhat reminiscent of the type of players and names that stacked Oilers team of the 80s had. Not to say that these guys are going to be able to do the same thing and replicate it, but I like this core four thing, and I like Frank and Craig thinking up something like that, because it's always neat to see that kind of perspective.
Tom Guazzola joins. Now, Tom, the LA Kings Stadium Series jersey came out, and I think your quote to me was, these are almost as ugly as Struds' blouse from last night.
Whoa,
that he wore.
Whoa.
It is kind of similar color. But so what is it that you dislike? I know you're a jersey guy. What is it you dislike about this Kings jersey?
Greg, thank you for finally letting me unload on this a little bit. I know I've kind of pestered you about the uniform thing. So thank you. Struddy, like, I admire your courage last night with that look. And it looks like you guys had a great time at Spirit of Edmonton. I'm going to try to dabble into it a little bit tonight. I just got into Calgary. But, Greg, that LA Kings Stadium Series uniform looks like a roller hockey jersey from the mid-90s.
And I like that reference. I like that. I can get on board with that.
Yeah, it's just bizarre. And I like, you know, this is a one-off thing, and these Stadium Series games are one-off events. And so it's interesting to see how outside the box Adidas is thinking with their designs when it comes to these uniforms. The Avalanche one, honestly, it looks like a reverse Vancouver Canucks late 70s, early 80s when they had that V down the middle. And I looked at it, and I'm like, this just looks so wrong on so many levels when it comes to good uniform design. So I think it's just going to be this smattering and mishmash of color when they finally play that outdoor game. But I saw those LA jerseys, and I was like, okay, like, are they so ugly that they're nice, and they're so unique that they're nice, or are they just butt ugly no matter which way you look at it, like the Avalanche one? Like, if you see the Avalanche, I retweeted it today, that Avalanche uniform is hideous. And then the LA one, honestly, I was like, that looks like a roller hockey jersey.
Yeah, you know what? I I'm with you. I don't think they're that good, but I think that the appeal is maybe how ugly they are. You know, because right. people are going to want to wear them because they'll be so unique, right? They're going to be like, hey, where'd you get that jersey? Oh, that was the outdoor game. And I think that's maybe what they're going for. They're so outlandish. Like, anyone can see that they're pretty unattractive. But I think right. that's the appeal, right?
So they're so unattractive, they're attractive?
That's, well, basically, yeah, in a roundabout way, you could say that, yeah.
So yeah, that's exactly. So that's like, Strutty, when people were coming up to you yesterday at Spirit of Edmonton being like, whoa, man, where'd you get that blouse?
It's not a blouse. You know what? I'll admit, it's a little bit long, but I was dancing a bit last night, mostly by myself, which was kind of weird. I thought it moved well. I liked the way it made me move on the dance floor.
Yeah, well, it did look like you were flowing a little bit, I will say
yeah.
that.
Yeah, like, yeah. It looked like Mike Modano's skating.
It's got, like, you know the Marilyn Manson, Marilyn Monroe?
Yes.
Right?
Yes,
when she, yeah. And then her blouse goes up. That's kind of like when you were moving around, yeah. like, it was lifting up a bit. So it was, you know, the showing off your midriff was a little odd.
Yeah.
To each their own.
Little Shania Twain there. Yeah, I thought it was
no
great.
No one judges in the Spirit of Edmonton room, though. You're lucky. No one judges
no.
in there.
And I bet Strutty had I could just visualize him having this big grin from ear to ear by himself in his outfit with this Marilyn Monroe blouse on, all alone, having the best time on his own. I could just see it. That's the type of guy, Strutty, you are. You're so positive on this positive Friday that I visualize that's what happened last night.
That's a pretty good visual, Tom. It's pretty accurate. Before we let you go, who are you taking in the Grey Cup?
Boys, I'm sticking with my absolutely absurd prediction from a couple of weeks ago, which you rightly so scoffed at when I said Zach Collaros and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers 2019 Grey Cup champions. Even I don't like it, but I'm going to stick with it.
Well, I don't mind that. I don't mind the Bombers. I actually picked the Bombers to win, too. But I'll admit, my pick's a little bit of going with my heart, going with the team that's had the longest drought. But I think the two-quarterback situation comes into play here. And I think this might be lower scoring. I'm hoping I'm wrong because, obviously, I'm all about offense. But I don't know, man. That Winnipeg defense, even Hamilton's defense, they're both really good. So all right, we'll see what happens. Enjoy that game. Of course, you got a pregame show on the weekend tomorrow and on Sunday. Enjoy. Have a good one.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks, Freddie.